book of Jeremiah, chapter number 18. Jeremiah, chapter number 18. We didn't get good and started, really. So I want to go back there for a little while tonight. Jeremiah chapter number 18, verse number 1, we begin a message on the subject, Lessons from the Potter's House, that very familiar and famous chapter in our Bible where the Lord is giving us another image or sort of a type of His relationship to us as His children. Us as Him being the Father and us being the children, the sons of God. Think about that, that you are a child of God. That's amazing. We really, really do have a heavenly Father. That's amazing. Then, I'm not going to re-preach all this, but I mentioned as well, not only does the Word of God give us that relationship between a father and a son or a daughter, but also that relationship between the potter and the clay, and that's what we're dealing with, a shepherd and the sheep. No greater shepherd than the great shepherd. And we, like sheep, need a shepherd. I don't know if you've ever studied sheep before, but they don't make it far. they no offense, but they dumb. Really, I mean, they are. So anyway, thank God for the shepherd, and thank God for our Father. But thank the Lord for this picture He has given us of the potter and the clay. And that's where I believe there are lessons to be learned. Let's look at, again, and read it, verse number 1 of Jeremiah chapter number 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." If you'll remember, we was dealing, first of all, with the potter and his mission. He had a mission. He had a purpose. He found this clay and wasn't by accident. He didn't stumble upon it. But if you'll study potters and how the clay is found, they go out into the woods, they go out into the muck and the mire, and they search for and seek out on purpose a product, a portion of clay, and it's in bad shape. It's mixed with all the rocks and the dirt and the sand and the grime, but that potter knows where to look. Just how to look. He knows how to reach in and pull out exactly what he was seeking. Just like the shepherd, when we as lost sheep had wandered and he came into the thicket and the briar patches, and he knew how, just with only the hand of a shepherd, could reach into that place we was and pull us out, right out of the mouth of the wolf, right out of the thicket that we could not escape from. And we as clay, the potter, finds us, and he had a mission in mind. And we spoke about the potter's intention. And he did have an intention. And we talked about the ingredients of the clay and how all the different particles and pieces that mess it up, and how he has to dilute that and get those out. And then we began, and this is where we're going to pick up tonight, talking about the potter's instruments. In this process, speaking of the potter and the clay, this process that he's performing, it don't just go from the creek bank to China setting like something like that that would hold a candle or that you'd pour some liquid into or what you'd put in a curio or a cabinet and say that's our, what they call, fine china. Never understood all that. There's a process and there's instruments involved in getting it through that process. And if you'll remember, we talked about the shovel and how he digs that clay out. Then we dealt with the mallet. After he digs it out with the shovel, that potter will take a mallet and he'll put that clay on pieces of wood and he will beat the air pockets out of that clay. And that ain't a comfortable process, I'm sure, for the clay, having the wind knocked out of you. But God will do that. And if you'll know the truth, we need it knocked out of us. And so the mallet has its place and the shovel has its place in the hand of the potter. But then tonight, not only the shovel and the mallet, but the potter also has wheels as instruments. We read about that. These wheels describe a large bottom wheel in this potter's office. Usually made of stone, mounted. You've probably seen these before, but they're mounted upon a shaft that sits in a stone socket. And coming out of that is a large stone and an upright shaft that extends some 3 feet with another small wheel mounted on the top. And so you got these wheels spinning, one way and one the other, and it's spinning and turning and mashing and rotating this clay. And as it does, the upper wheel is turned, and this is where the clay is placed there on the upper wheel. And as the clay turns, the potter will place his hands. As that wheel's turning and got this one up here turning, and you imagine this, Charlena, kill me, but you imagine that whole thing spinning on this big wheel. And this is important. There's more instruments involved, but it gets more personal. In my shed, I've got a shovel. And somewhere at the house, I got a mallet or a hammer. I ain't got no wheels. Well, I just got some new wheels. Thank the Lord that y'all helped me get some new wheels on my truck. But that ain't the kind of wheels we're talking about. But this thing's turning. And turn, and when it does, after the potter takes, now this is shaped and formed, but after the potter takes this big glob of clay and he places it on this spinning wheel, immediately the potter puts his hands on it. His hands is a tool. His hands is probably the most important tool. The rest of the tools will be put aside. The rest of the tools throughout this process will be used at some point and then not. The hands of the potter never leave the clay. As long as that wheel's turning, the potter's hands, those instruments of God, the hands of God, the ones who form the world, the one who's holding the world in the palm of his hand. The one who the Bible said that all the waters of the world are in the hollow of his hand. Those hands are tightly gripped around the clay. And as it turns and that process continues, it's a wonderful thing to know When life is spinning you every which way but loose, there's a God in heaven who will never take His hands off you. And life often seems like a big circle, don't it? Seems like up one day, down another, like you're just walking in circles, like you ain't making any advancements. And it seems that we just pass from one trial just to get to the next. You ever feel that way? From one trouble to the next. From one let down to the next. From one heartache to the next. And these things are hard on us, and they leave us feeling confused and burdened. But we must remember, this is part of God's process. In order to get the finished product, which I will read a verse in just a moment, but keep in mind what the Bible says. We are His workmanship. We were created in Him. I told Renee this morning, I said, now, if you did what the Bible said and you believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I mean, that's right. That's right. Amen, that's right. And my point is, listen, God started He created us, but we are a work in progress. Oh, my dear friend, I still need a bunch of work done. Jeff, I bet you when you was working on Jackie's car, you thought it'd never end, didn't you? When you started, that thing had sat there, and people had took their hands off of that thing for a while. But God don't do that. And I ain't saying Jackie neglected that car. Just life gets busy, and you get. But God, life don't get too busy for God to neglect you. Life don't get too busy, and God don't get His attention on somebody else and lose you. No, God's hands is always on you. He's always attentive to you. He's always paying attention to you and to me. And never forget that God, and when I say He created us, He did create us for a purpose. This is what He's shooting for. This is His whole purpose for rescuing and finding this piece of clay. That God would create something in His image. And there's going to be a heating process that we'll get to. And when God gets that thing formed, and when God gets that thing finished, and throws it in the furnace, and turns the heat wide open, when that product is finished, when that piece of pottery is complete, that potter will be able to look into that thing and see his reflection and see his own image. And that's what God's doing with us. At the beginning, when you look in that old gray, dark, murky clay, it ain't nothing to look at. And neither was we. But the longer He has His hands on you, and the tighter He squeezes you, and the faster that wheel spins, and the more He beats on you with the mallet, and the more pressure and the hotter it gets, I promise you, imperfections are coming out one by one. Air pockets are coming out. And slowly but surely, if you're saved, me and you, believe it or not, and sometimes it's hard to believe, I feel like I've been walking like the children of Israel in the wilderness. Like I've been walking in circles, like I've been here before. Surely I'm further down the road than this. I'm still having these problems. I thought He worked that out of me. I thought He got that out of me. But that temper will flare just as fast as it used to. Oh, I know that ain't never happened to y'all. Noah and Angela, y'all still married? No, I'm just kidding. They still honeymooning. They ain't got to a fuss yet. No. Regardless of what you're facing in life, all these things are eventually going to be worked out for the glory of God and for your good. So His hands, while the clay spins on these wheels, His hands never leave contact of the potter. What a picture of God the Father. Oh. You ever feel like God's, like you, or somehow got isolated and alone, and like God's a million miles away? You ever feel like that? I ain't gonna lie to you, I do. There's times when the devil will have me convinced God's forgot about me. And I know better. I know better. I know. You ever been right in the middle of a deep, dark, hard battle, and somebody will come up and say, Romans 8:28. Like I want to smack you across the face with Romans 8:28. I know what Romans 8:28 says. I know all things work together, but it sure don't feel good, and it don't feel like it's working in the process. But I know deep in my heart that it's true. And we need to be reminded of that. Peter said, I'm trying to stir these things up. You know them, but I'm trying to stir them up again and remind you. God promised, even when he feels a million miles away, he's never left. He's never took his hand off of you. Hebrews 13:5 deals with that. Matthew 28:20 deals with that. The child of God needs never fear. The Lord will walk out or leave us to spin out of control. These times, left to ourselves, we will spin out of control. What if, while we're spinning on that wheel, what if God just turned his back and walked off? Well, you ever seen a pot, like one of those potter wheels turn in clay in art class? Remember art class? Miss Prater was my. How many of y'all have Miss Prater? Any of y'all? Yeah, look at that. They put that clay on there, and that stuff would go, and you hold it. But you get distracted like I would. Anything, I'm just that guy. I'll be, what? And before I know it, my clay's just doing like this. And I ain't dancing, and y'all don't put that on the internet. But that left unattended, what was tight and what was true, left unattended, it don't take long to get wobbly. And God knows that about me and you. I don't care how much you got it together. Left to yourself, you're going to get wobbly. And you're going to lose shape. And you're going to lose form. And God knows that, and that's why he keeps his hand on us. And he knows how much pressure you can take, and how he knows when he could squeeze you too tight and just make you blow out the top. And he ain't going to do that. Amen. But he also knows how much we do need to get the impurities out and to form us into the way we need to be. So, that's the potter's mission. Number two, the potter and his ministry. The potter not only has a mission, but he has a ministry. He's not just doing this to be doing. He's doing this that what he's creating, he can use to be a blessing and a help in the lives of other people. That's what ministry is, by the way. Some people, sadly, I'm just going to get personal with you. Some people, I've been pastoring long enough to see this, and it's sad but true. Some people, unless they have their name on it, they don't want to have nothing to do with it. Unless they got their name on the Sunday school class, unless they're going to get recognized, unless they the youth pastor, unless they are the assistant pastor, unless they are the missions director, unless they are the choir leader, just fill in the blank, unless they are dot, dot, dot. That ain't ministry, and you ain't fit to be a minister if you got to be recognized for it. You must learn to follow before you God will ever trust you to lead. And following is something you will do when nobody's watching. Don't expect God to trust you to lead nothing until you're willing to follow blindly for no recognition. You will never lead until you get leadable. Amen. That's right. God can't trust me or you to lead anybody or anything when we're doing it for our own glory. Because that ain't leading. If we're leading the way God called us to lead, we're leading to Him and for Him and through Him. There's very little me in lead. It's all about Him. Amen. And my, how we need a dose of reality, and we got to keep our flesh in check on that as leaders. Amen. That's mine. I done that. I built that. I paid for that. Is trash. That stinks. That is not leadership. You may have it in a title, but you are not leading at all. Are you listening? Amen. You say, but I'm not leading. I'm trying to train you how to. Amen. So, the potter and his ministry, number one, there's a problem with the vessel. In ministry, there's always problems with the vessels. That's right. Why else would you need ministry? If everybody had it together, there'd be no need for a minister. You know what happens? When there's a problem, who do people call? The minister. I need my funeral priest. Well, they don't say I need my, well, sometimes they do, but usually it's I need their funeral priest. I hope nobody, I need my marriage fixed. I need my child rescued. I need rescuing. I'm in a mess. Help! That's what ministry is all about. Not to condemn those people who are have problems. Because here, listen to me. We all do. Brother Ned, I love you. I thank the world of you. But you need ministering too. You know why? Because you got some problems. And I respect you highly and greatly. But even old Brother Ned, I ain't heard a bad word from him, about him. He ain't never said nothing, even in the slightest way, wrong to me, about nobody. He's faithful. But I guarantee you, go talk to Brother Ned. He's got his own problems. You know why he's faithful? You know why? He tells me all the time, Preacher, you hit me right between the eyes with that one. That and landed right in my lap. That and hit me right in the heart, Preacher. You're just preaching right to me. You know what he's saying? I got some troubles and I needed help. And that message, that word was ministering to him. And God, as the potter, when he's dealing with this clay, he's got a ministry he's working on. And he's using even vessels that are full of problems. And he's working those problems out as he's working on. Even in the potter's hands, listen, even in the potter's hands. I'm talking about the potter's hands. Things still go terribly wrong. And it ain't a problem with the potter or his hands. It ain't a problem with the wheel. It ain't a problem with the mallet or with the shovel that the potter used. You know what the problem is? Always, it's a problem with the clay. That's the problem. And so even in the potter's hands, things still go terribly wrong. The fault is not God's, it's the clay's. And there's times even in the best of care, we as the vessels still get out of shape, still have imperfections pop that have to be addressed. Ain't that the truth? If I had a mirror big as this pulpit, I'd shine it at y'all tonight. Ain't that the truth? Just look. We all got them. And the wheel might be turning, and your imperfection might be back here where nobody else can see it, but God's looking from this view, and He sees all of them. 360. Inside. His hands are like this, and His thumbs go down in like that, and He sees the inside and feels it. And when a little pebble even hides all the way on the inside, the thumbs of God are there. And He feels it. It touches Him. And He knows. 360, when you got it hid from everybody. But eventually, that wheel's going to work its way around to even where everybody can see. You might hide it for this much, but eventually, bam, there it is, your problem that needs ministering to. Are you listening? So, since yours is hid or may even be down here in the middle that only God can see, don't forget you still got some pebbles in you that need to be ejected. And just because somebody else has happened to be on the wheel out here public, you got your private ones. So be careful how you judge. Well, I had a pair of glasses somewhere. Y'all steal my glasses. See, I'm accusing people of stealing right here in church. Just think about it. We're going along. We're doing just good. We're growing in the grace of God. Then out of nowhere, there comes a temptation. Bam! That you've overcome 100 times. But not this day. How long have we been married? 23 years. It's 1923. It's 2023. I was 100 years off. We ain't been married 123 years. 23 years. Do you know what I've learned? There were things earlier in their marriage I could sense it probably be smart if I just shut up. It saved me a whole lot of time, hassle and effort and energy. If I just say, I'll eat this, it ain't worth it. It ain't worth 4 hours of my time. I'll just say, I was wrong. I'm sorry. You're right. Yes, ma'am. Hey. And think. And it worked. And just like throwing bait to a fish, she'd take it and poof, life is back to normal. Like, praise Jesus. I figured this thing of marriage out. I've become a professional. And then, bam, right there out of nowhere, I forget everything I've learned and I open my big fat mouth. And it's on like Donkey Kong. And I mean, we in it. We look like a Tasmanian devil. We just look like we ain't never been saved a day in our life. I ain't talking about cussing, but I'm talking about almost thinking it. That mad. I mean like I ain't been saved a day. He says, surely not. Come on now, are y'all really serious? Are y'all really married? You know that person you love the most can get to you the most. You know that person knows you better than anybody knows which buttons. She knows the key code to get your door open. This door. Beep, beep, beep. Yeah. I'm just saying life be going along just fine and dandy. And out of nowhere, a temptation that you thought you had whooped. And it whoops you. It happens to us all, does it not? Does it not? And we're thrown off balance. And there we are, still on the wheel of the potter, still in the hand of the potter. No fault of the potter. He ain't changed anything. But we get out of balance. And you know what the potter has to do? Tighten the grip. Squeeze. Form and fold. And even parts where he was down here working and he had built up and he had come back down here and he was letting that go up there because it was in shape and doing good. And then he has to go back up to where he used to be and put the clamp on again. Y'all getting that? God ever had to squeeze you where he squeezed you way before and you thought that was done? Them days still come. Every turn on this wheel makes the blemish more visible. That's the fact. It soon becomes evident that God cannot use us in the shape that we are. Are you hearing me? You can get so out of shape with God. Hear me, I ain't got time to get into this part tonight, so I'm going to just cut it right here. But you can get so out of shape with God, God will scoop you up off the wheel and put you on the shelf and get another piece of clay and go to work. Are you hearing me? He will. He has. God forbid. I do not want to be shelved by God. I don't want to get out of shape and stay out of shape and be so unworkable that God moves on to something, to another piece of clay that will be more moldable and pliable in his hand. I got to say this before we leave. That does not mean, if you're saved, that does not mean you lose your salvation. Don't mean that at all. Being shelved is not losing your salvation. But there ain't nowhere in this Bible that ever promises you that God will use you the rest of your life. Period. If we rebel and buck, it ain't in there. Thank the Lord we're saved forever. But it puts some real responsibility on me and on you to be pliable and moldable, because none of us want to end up on the shelf. I want to stay in the ministry that God's working. I want to be in this process. We talked about the problem of the vessel. We're going to pick up next time with the perception of the potter. I mentioned just a little bit of how he views it, but then, thank the Lord, I got to just mention this because I can't leave on that note I just did. The perception of the potter, but the patience of the potter. I don't want you leaving here on that downer, feeling like, oh, I done failed and I'm so flawed and God's already put me on the shelf and I'm done forever. You'd be amazed. I mean, you'd be absolutely amazed at how patient God is. Amen. It's unbelievable how long-suffering and patient and gracious and good and merciful and kind and forbearing that the God of heaven is with this old messed up miry clay. If you still got an ounce of want to in you, he ain't finished with you. Don't stop. Be pliable. Let's stand. That's 3 minutes over. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray you take your word. Help us, Lord. Encourage that one needs it the most. Oh, God, I need it, Lord, myself. Thank you, Lord, for the reminders in your word. Thank you for being the potter and allowing us to be the clay. And, oh, God, as you are ministering to us as the clay, I pray you'd help us to be pliable, moldable, And God, while you're working the imperfections out, I pray, oh Lord, as we feel the pain and the pressures of you doing your ministry on us, help us to realize, Lord, you're forming us into your own image, God, to be used and to be ministers to others. God, that we'd be vessels of honor, not dishonor. I pray you'd help us all, Lord. God, if there's anybody not on the wheel, not saved, I pray you'd save them, God, and show them that you're looking for them and searching for them. And, oh, God, you can find them and save them. Well, we love you, God, and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen. All right, God bless.